Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Hey, everybody. How are you guys doing? I'm so glad that you have made the decision. No, I'm so glad that God has woke you up and aided you in making the decision to join us today, the Global Vision for Living Today. And without a vision, guess what? You know, even Scripture says, everything perishes. Nothing has a chance without a vision. And we're so happy that you're with us today to learn more about how you can make God your friend. You may have all sorts of friends. You may have the feathered friends. You may have the friends on four legs. You may think your next door neighbor is your friend. But you're going to learn today how you can make God your friend, part three. And let's face the facts. None of us can really exist without the help and the aid of another. But the one who calls himself the God of the universe, oh my goodness, at Psalm 83:18, cannot be beat. I mean, he's the everything God. He's the all over the universe God. He's a friend when you think you don't have one, because he said, let us go down. Let us go down and create those of your descendants, ancestors. He said, let's go down there and make it happen. And the Creator God expects his creation to be bountiful, beautiful, and, of course, worship him in the way that he approves. We have Colonel Harrison with us today, presiding minister of Second Union Baptist Church back east in the D.C. metropolitan area. And, you know, I'm just so proud because he has been the assistant fomenter of everything good on this show. And the show really evolves around his words of wisdom. So, again, I welcome you. Don't you want to make God your friend? Why would anyone want to have God as a friend? Is it worth it to believe in a God you can't even see? But is God interested in you as a friend? You know, this is a two-way street thing. But we know since God is supreme over all the universe, let's get started on hearing how you can make God your friend. Leave all them other cats alone. Put God first. That's the number one friend that you want to have in your life. Colonel Harrison, what are some of the ways that a person, whether he really knows a lot about God, knows a lot about the Bible, even recognizes that Psalm 83:18 God, what are some of the ways, get us started, that a person interested in bettering his health, his life, and his wisdom, how can they make God their friend? Start us off.
Good morning, Dr. Capitino, listening audience.
Hi.
It's good to be on the show again. We make God our friend by getting to know who he is, the Psalm 83:18 God. Now, for those who already know who God is, then we position ourselves to make God our friend by doing God's will for our lives, doing what it is that God wants us to do for him in our lives. So two aspects of it. One, those who don't know God, Psalm 83:18 God Jehovah, have to get to know who God is. But for those who know God, we have to do what God will is for our lives, and we have to seek God to find out what our will is, what his will is for our lives.
Okay, well, I tell you what, I got a clue. Hey, you guys, yay, I love you guys, too. I see you on the dashboard. Yay, yay. Well, I tell you what, if they say, well, I don't know how to seek God, how do I know if I talk to the preacher across the street, he's going to lead me right? What can I do? Okay, this is what you can do. And you just heard what Colonel Dr. Harrison has said. You know, there is a do good and a do right scripture for us in this century. You want to know how to make God your friend? Do what his son says. His son said upon his ascension, you guys all know the story. He came here, he hung, he bled, he died. His mission is all throughout the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You want to know anything about the one called the Christ, start there, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And there's a name for those four books of the Bible. Get involved in that. Just start reading. The Holy Spirit will guide you to the understanding. But I'm kind of concerned here about how someone can make God their friend by following his son. The last book of the Bible, Matthew, says, go ye therefore. Okay, so you don't have to beg nobody to tell you what to do when it comes to doing something that God will take a notice of and say, you know what, he's my friend. I'm going to help him out. I'm going to make sure he don't starve to death on earth. I'm going to help him through his health crisis. But his son, the one that made it all possible for us to talk to him, he said, go ye therefore, preach and teach. Okay, so, what is his will? We just said that. Look at the last book of the Bible and the last five or six scriptures there, the book of Matthew. What am I supposed to be doing? How can I allow God to look down from heaven and say, that's my son, I approve of him, that's my daughter, I approve? Then do what the son says. Jesus said, I and the Father one. So, okay, do what the son says. Okay, well, I don't know what to, there it is. Open your Bible up to Matthew, last book of Matthew, and then, of course, you will have that so-called decree, not for preachers only, not for scholars only, not for Joe Blow only, but that is for anyone interested in making God their friend. Follow the Son, footstep follower. You've heard all of this since age of three. If you were in any kind of church, worth its worth. Go ye therefore. Go on out. Get up. Get your clothes on. Go on out there with the message of hope. Oh, doctor, you know, I don't know that. Well, the colonel, the minister can help us with that. Get your book under your Bible, a book under your shoulder blade, going with the, oh, well, I don't know all the Bible. You don't have to know it all. The Holy Spirit that gives utterance will help you. If they see you trying to preach the word and teach the word, and walk up under the word, walk on top of the word, I want God to be my friend. I'm sick of this. Then, of course, here we got the unching of the Holy Spirit. So there you have it. How can I make God my friend? Number one, you want to follow his son. How am I going to follow his son? Well, here we just gave you a start, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Just start reading. Just start reading and watch what happened. Now, some have made guns their friend, dope, money, sex, clothes, you name it. But the only friend, the only friend that sticks closer than a brother, that is the one called Jehovah God. Some say, you know, I hear a lot about Jesus. Jesus, that's great. I love Jesus too. That's great. But don't forget the Father. Jesus did not let them forget. He said, hold it. I come in the name of the Father. I and the Father one. So if you're in any church and they're not talking about that God called Jehovah, you know, it's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. He said, I can't do nothing without him, without the Father, without the Father leading me. So you want to get up and wonder. I'm in a ministry now where I didn't hear that, and now every prayer they open up, oh, Jehovah, thank you for this, 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 and that. Now, it may not be Jehovah all the way throughout, but, hey, you know what it is, what it is. How are you going to stand up and expect God's blessing over your ministry and you don't mention that name? In some churches, I heard they're scared of that name. So I set a church. They ain't going to tell them people nothing like that. Hallelujah. Colonel Harrison, let's talk about making God our friend. Is there any expected conduct on our part by God if we want him to be our friend?
Yes, Doc. Glad you asked. Yes, God expects us to obey his holy words, obey what he tells us to do. So obedience is one of the key and primary elements of us doing what God expects us to do and making God our friend, doing what God tells us to do. Is it in the Bible, obedience, obedience, obedience. We obey our parents who work a job, obey their supervisor or boss at the job. We'll follow directions when we go to a theater or whatever it is. Obedience, obedience, obedience.
That's pretty good. That's good.
Obedience. Thank you. Obedience.
That's good.
That's good.
Yeah, very, very good. Yes. And then there's scripture that says obedience is better than sacrifice. Some say,
yes.
Well, I pray on my knees 3 times a day. Or I go to the synagogue and I'm there all day. Oh, I'm going over here to church every week. Oh, I'm so faithful. Yay, yay, yeah, yeah, yeah. But all of those are sacrifices, physical and spiritual sacrifices that we make to get to our places of worship. But before you get up out of there, we need to ask ourselves, have I obeyed God all week? Have I did what the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost would expect me to do? We sort of have to backdrop on that rather than just go run. Well, it's Sunday, I'm going to church. What is that before God? He don't need you. You and I and Dr. Harrison, we're the ones that stand in the need of God, and especially by way of prayer. That is nothing to the God of the universe. When this God looks down and sees that this person is sincere and they really want to do what I have commanded, he said, keep my commandments. You guys, if you don't want to show up on a street corner, if you don't want to show up in a church that's really teaching the unadulterated word of God, then this is what I want you to do. I want you to obey me. What are some of the other ways, Colonel Harrison, that God is expecting us to do if we want him to be our friend? We got obedient, got to obey him. What are some other things that will make God happy to be our friend?
Okay. The next thing, Doc, is commit to serving God. Commit to serving God. Once we become obedient, then God expects us to serve him, to go out and share and tell others about him and help others who are unable to help themselves. So being a servant of God. Once we obey his word, then we go forth to be a servant of God to help serve others who have need and tell them who God is.
That is so very true, because when Jesus was on earth, he had those 12 there. They didn't sit on all day laying up in the garden all night long sleep, or going over into the lakes, the highways, the byways, just standing around skinning, laughing, grinning. That ain't about anything. We need to wake up. That is not about anything. God expects some work, just like Christ had those 12 there. You know, we're just including the bad guy in there, but they were walking, talking, going through marketplaces, standing up before the Sanhedrin. So even though some felt scripture that they were unlearned and unlettered, let's miss me with that. The Holy Spirit is the one that gives the utterance. So Jesus was able to walk with them without whatever the lowest base of education they had. So, I'm not educated. You know, I don't have a degree. I don't have this. I don't have that. Did Jesus come here talking about a degree? Lowly carpenter, somebody better get real on this show. Those 12 had to work. They had to show by their works that they believed in Jesus. And the one that sent him forth, and the one that said, follow me. So if anyone says, just turn me in a nutshell how I'm going to get to know God enough to make him my friend, what did his son say? Follow me. If you didn't see him in the whiskey houses, what are you doing in the whiskey house? If you didn't see him with 2 or 3 women a night, men, what are you guys trying to prove? Oh, I could go further on that, but out of respect, I will not. But if we're talking about making God the Father our friend, we've got to follow the Son. What did the Son do? What did the Son say? How did the Son look? Where did you find him day and night? Found him somewhere praying, running down the cobble streets and the Pharisees. This is not anything that we're going to get through unscathed. If you follow the Son, follow him all the way, look at what happened to him. And I had a preacher said, anybody talking about getting baptized in the name of Jesus Christ too as well, they're going to suffer as he suffered. Now, we might not get our heads blown off for saying the name Jesus yet, I don't know what China's doing. Some say they're getting ready to do some bad things, you know, already. You can't go over there with the Bible, and they beheaded, I think, 5 this week for trying to proselyze. But he said, if you want to be a part of what I'm a part about, you got to follow Jesus. So really, we could almost end this show right now. How can you make God, my friend, obey God? Follow the Son. What did he do? What did he say? What was he talking about? He sure couldn't have been trying to follow him big and fat, because them people was on foot, sandals worn out. Somebody told me that Paul traveled thousands of miles and probably had a new change of sandals a month. Who knows? But you want to make God your friend, follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. What else can we say? We have nothing more to offer. Follow Jesus. Colonel Harrison, what are some of the other things that God will be pleased with us doing if we want to make God our friend? Remember, this is part 3, so it's only cracking. What are some of the other things God expects, not tells us to do, but what does God expect us to do if we want to make him our friend?
The next thing, Dr. Carpentina, and listen, audience, is to love God and love our neighbors as ourselves. And our neighbors, everybody, not those who live in our communities, but those who we meet that are strangers. So God wants us to love him because he first loved us, and also he wants us to love one another. Once we love one another, we'll get along with each other. We'll be more compassionate toward each other. We'll be more eager and willing to go and tell others about following Jesus and how Jesus changed our lives and made things better in our lives, and that we're serving him because he's God, the creator, and Jesus is the Son of God, who lived as man on earth but now has returned to heaven. So loving God and loving our neighbor, which is also our people we come in contact with. Could be, as I said, could be a stranger, could be an enemy, but that's our neighbor. God wants to love everybody because he loves everybody.
Yes, God does. And you know what? His son, when he was on earth, when he walked this earth, he was always about unconditional love. He said, love them anyway. He said, pray for your enemies. You are not going to love an enemy that you have not prayed for and about. I don't care what we say. It's just not going to happen. And most people have not been taught really what love is. You know what? I might would want to have a minister such as yourself teach on that. Ain't nobody loving nobody. Black Lives Matter caused $2-3 billion worth of damage. Would you call that love? And then here's some of the African Americans walking around looking for free food boxes. Oh, my God, how contradictory. It didn't do anything. It just showed Jehovah the kind of people that are still living on this earth, expecting to breathe and get hospital care and eat 4, 5, 10, 12 million, trillion meals a day. He's not happy with that. And look at the consequences right off the heels of that. Got to walk around with surgical mask on. Thousands dying daily. What was all that about? What is that about? God, the Bible says, is not one to be mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that is what he's going to reap. And aren't we reaping something terrible? Children now dying all day long from COVID in the hospitals. Old folk can't even get in. I hope my health holds up because I might not be able to get in. Does that show God is our friend, the shape of this world right now? No. We haven't took our time to make him our friend. And that's why we're in the shape we're in. I don't care what I say, you say, nobody else say. Just look out the door at mankind's condition worldwide. Somebody trying to make God their friend. And, oh, boy, aren't we paying for it. Oh, my God. Oh, it reminds me of the scourge of the turn of the century. All the millions that died, black plague. Don't mess with God. Don't mess with him. Don't go around God. If you're not coming in spirit and truth to bow down, fall down, and say, God, help me, shouldn't even mention him. He's showing, no, he is not your friend, and he's not going to be your friend. Now, let's kind of take this to another level. You mentioned this thing called love. I wrote a little article. I was laying in the bed, and I was looking at that, and I wrote a little article. Within a few hours, I had 1,700 views, and it's gone up now to 45,000 views at that. So, and I looked at this morning, and I jumped out of bed. And said, oh, my God, look at this, look at this. So I that should be a message to ministers that they have got to stress love. Ain't no need to open the doors up, open the doors. That's open the doors at a church. Ain't no need to doing that. That's fake. That's a waste of breath and time. And to intellectualism to even say something like that. I think right now our message should be, and I was talking with the minister this morning about this, peace, one thing, but love. You're not going to have any peace with nations hating each other, countries hating each other, cities hating each other, divided by Republican here on this side and Democrats. I think anyone that claims, I didn't say they were, that claims to be sent by God to say anything good in reference to his universe, they should be talking about this thing called love. Some of, oh, I hate that beat. Oh, I hate that nigga. I hate that white man and all of that. We're still hearing that no matter what the laws are against racial tensions and activities. But I think anybody worth anything right now should be talking about love, L-O-V-E, not the sexual love. We'll get to that down the road. I see you guys clapping like that. Well, you're going to have to wait. Now we're talking about that physical love. The scripture says that God is love. So I haven't heard any ministers even talk on that. They got to, and when they talk on it, that people have got to believe that that is really so. If you're talking about making God your friend, a friend that sticks closer than a brother, to love someone, they've got to be more than a friend. Oh, I love you. Then that means you're my confidant. You are someone I can talk to. You're someone I can go to when I need. So I'm thinking that we can have a blessed discourse on that, but get the word out, all of you. If they're not talking about love, where did love come from? Why is love so important in the Christian church? How do we come to a point where we love if we don't love ourselves? How do you love? You've got to love yourself first before you can love anyone else. Well, then what are the steps that I need to take to love myself? I mean, this is just coming to us via spirit. We need to get people on board to, and you know what? That scripture, love ye one another. Don't get up in my face with something ulterior if you're not trying to win me over to love you. When you love someone, you're gonna, you're compelled spiritually to do everything you can for them. Colonel Harrison, is this what you see in the world today? Nothing but chaos.
Yes, chaos.
Colonel Harrison, are you still there? Are you still there, Colonel Harrison? Are you still there?
Yes. Yes. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Yes.
So can the others.
Yes, there's chaos in the world because there's lack of love. Love, agape love, heavenly love, a love from above. God's nature is love. So many scriptures come to mind. He says, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. And then there's another that says, well, there abideth faith, hope, and charity, but the greatest of these is love. So if we don't love one another, we can't love God, who we have not seen. So we have to love one another. If I love you, I'm going to help you if you have need. I'm going to assist you with whatever your problem, your trials, your tribulation is. Whatever it may be, love gives us compassion where we have something in kind with each other, being human, the highest form of God's creation. And so what the missing element in mankind and in society today, in the world today, is lack of love, lack of God, love, respect, and all those reverence and all those things that comes with it. If I love you, I'll respect you. If I respect you, I'll help you. If I help you, it means that I'll share some of my resources with you. And it goes on.
Right, right, right. And scripture also contends that two are better than one. Jesus had, assisted Jehovah in the garden, in the creation of the man and woman. He said in Scripture, let us go down and create man in our, oh, you are in our image. And, of course, Jesus Christ in his pre-human form said, yes. So when the man was created, after thousands of years, Eve didn't come up the next day. He put Adam to sleep, God, the creator God, put him to sleep and took a rib there and fashioned it into the woman. He said, it is not good. Now, whatever the good is, I know theologians may have picked that apart. It is not good for man to be alone. So, and this is the same feeling that we should have when it comes to making Jehovah our friend. Eve came in on the scene as a friend first, then the lover, then a multiplier along with him. So God, in his infinite wisdom, himself has partaken of the knowledge that, hey, if it was that then, it is that way now. You know, while mankind has destroyed every institution, known and unknown, seen and unseen, there's one institution that's still, now it is falling apart, this thing, this institution, this way called marriage. First marriage took place in the garden. And we're still doing that today, which means that how evil and wicked and crazy and ugly mankind has gotten and is and still is and still will be upon Jesus' return. Guess what? It's something about the marriage, the co-joining of two people. Other groups now sanctioned scripturally is marrying each other. So this thing about, and you got to be a friend first before you engage in some kind of unholy, we got that now, unholy matrimony or holy matrimony. So a friend means someone else by your side. A friend means, like Colonel Harrison said, a helper, someone that you can use and have as a confidant. And we could go on that. That's what a friend is. God's son said, come and follow me. We could minister all day on that. We don't have that time. Come and follow me. How can I make God my friend? Come, said Jesus. Come, follow me. So, you know, if you follow me, you're going to see this, you're going to see that. I'm going to talk to you about this. I'm going to talk to you about that. I'm going to show you this. I'm going to show you how to raise the dead. Hallelujah, praise God. Paul raised the dead 40 years after Christ was crucified off the road of Damascus. Come, follow me. When you follow somebody, you get to see them, smell them, hug them, you with them. Come on now. He said, follow me. You're not going to make God your friend if you do not follow the Son. That's a message right there. Don't run on your knees. You better get to know Jesus. And, of course, you get to know Jesus. You get to know the Father. Colonel Harrison has a ministry there, Second Union Baptist Church there again. I mentioned that. He's also the presiding platform minister of the International Platform for Peace. We will be talking more about that. Hey, the world still needs peace. The world still needs peace. What the world needs now is love, oh love, but it still needs peace. Stay tuned to hear more about the International Platform for Peace. You can take a look at the website, www.ipforpeace.org. Thank you so much for tuning in. We just love you guys. Don't forget, same place, same time. God bless you. Have a great weekend. And don't forget, Jesus and Jehovah God can be your friend.